The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Thank you for changing the world.
Did you realize that not being thankful is ungodly? That's what the Bible says. And today, on our national holiday of Thanksgiving, we're going to discuss about some of the roots of this holiday, but also the scriptural precedent for being thankful to God. Stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday Thanksgiving Day special edition of the Gospel Truth. Today in the United States, we are celebrating our national holiday of Thanksgiving. And I tell you, I'm excited about that. I think that this is probably the most godly holiday that we have of the entire year. I mean, it's, you know, many people have taken it to where it's just a day of pigging out, overeating, watching football or doing something else. And of course, that may not be the most godly thing that happens during the year, but the concept of pausing and having a day to just rehearse and thank God for all of His goodness is probably the most pure motive behind any of the holidays that we have. I really like it. And so this is one of my favorite holidays. For those of you that are outside of the United States, let me say this. We are seeing all across Australia and Europe and India and Africa, literally around the world. There's 160 million homes outside of the United States that have access to our Gospel Truth broadcast. And so for those of you who may not be familiar with this holiday, I just want to give a little bit of background. And, you know, when I go to other places, people think that Americans are so patriotic. They just can't get over the way that we really, equate thanking God and worshiping God, and we thank God for this nation. Most people don't feel that way about their nation, but our nation really was founded on a desire for religious freedom. It was founded by people who were serving God. And the beginning of this nation, you could date back beyond this, but most people credit the real foothold when this nation began to start taking root with when the pilgrims came over, and I think it was in 1620, and they came over from Europe. England, Holland, there was a number of countries there that were oppressing their people, and the Reformation that had come through had spawned these groups who had broken away from the dominance of the Catholic or the Anglican Church, and yet these nations were beginning to suppress these groups, over in some of the countries I've been to, the Huguenots, where they were, severely oppressed and killed, and things were happening. So this religious persecution was going on, and a group of people banded together. They were called the Pilgrims, and in around 1620, they came over to what is now called the United States. It was called the New World. They founded a colony in what is now Plymouth, Massachusetts. And the very first year, they just barely got a foothold. They barely got some shelters built. Some of their crops failed, and if it hadn't have been for the help of the American Indians, they wouldn't have even survived the very first winter. As a matter of fact, I forget the exact number. I think it was at least 25%, probably over 50% of all of the colonists who came over on these three ships and landed at Plymouth. About 50% or more of them died in the first winter. Now, again, I may not have all of the details exactly correct, so please don't call and correct me. The point is they had a large number of their people not survive the very first winter. It was very hard. And then in the spring of the next year, they planted their crops. They had an abundant harvest. It looked like that finally they had gained a foothold, that their colony would survive, which of course history shows us that it did. And when they brought in their crops around this time of the year, they proclaimed a day of thanksgiving to just praise God for the bounty that they had in these crops, for preserving them for 1 year of being in the colonies, getting them through this winter. And it became a tradition with them to just give thanks to God. They realized that it wasn't their own effort that caused that colony to succeed. They spent a lot of time praying, and it was the providence and the grace of God that brought them through. And so they just took a day to thank God for His blessings on them and the way that He had prospered them. I think that's awesome. They recognized God as their source. And I tell you, there's so many people today that think that it's their own effort, it's their own goodness, their own cleverness and ability that gets them through everything. But the same thing is true. You may not have been up against the ravages of winter without shelter and things like this, and it may not be as obvious to you as it was those first pilgrims, but the truth is it's the grace of God that any of us are still standing. It's the grace of God that we're speaking English today instead of German or Japanese. I mean, we came very close to losing the Second World War. It's the grace of God today that the terrorist hasn't overcome, you know, the Western world. I mean, God has been good to us. God has blessed us. And we need a day of thanksgiving. We need to proclaim that it is God's providence and blessing on us that has preserved us. We need to be proclaiming this every bit as much as these first pilgrims were. And so these pilgrims made a tradition out of this, and that Plymouth colony had a day of thanksgiving every year where they begin to thank God. And then as these colonies begin to progress, and of course eventually there was the United States and the breaking away from the United Kingdom or the British Empire, and as we established the United States, there was numbers of different times throughout the history of the United States that there was a day of thanksgiving proclaimed. George Washington, our very first president, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving, I think, a number of times. And it was done, but it was done spasmodically, on and off, until the Civil War. And in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and instituted it as a national holiday and proclaimed that businesses and schools and things like this be closed and it be a national day of just honoring God and thanking Him for His providence and His provision. And you know, you need to recognize this, that it was during the height of the Civil War that this proclamation was given. There's people that say, well, yeah, we probably should give thanks, but most people are more focused on their problems, and they think that when things are going bad, that there's no reason to thank God for anything. But the truth is, it could always be worse. We need to be thanking God that things are as good as they are. They could be worse. Like I said, we could all have lost the Second World War, and we could have been living under the tyranny of Nazism. We could have been living, the terrorists could have won out. Things could be much, much worse than they are now. So despite the fact that there are still problems that exist in our world today, I think that we can take a lesson from the initial time that Thanksgiving in the United States was proclaimed as a national holiday. That took place during the height of the Civil War. And you know, the Civil War was, I mean, a devastating war. There was more people killed in the Civil War between the North and the South in the United States than there was in nearly everywhere, I think, except World War II. I think World War II outstripped it, but other than that, it was a high percentage of death, and of course there was a lot of people maimed by this. A lot of this came because the technology had increased. They had these rifles that could fire farther and more accurate than any of the previous weapons, and yet they were still using the old styles of battle where they would march up close to each other. And so anyway, the technology outpaced the strategy in the war, and there was a huge number of people killed in the Civil War. So this was a time of great grieving. At the time in 1863 that President Lincoln proclaimed this National Day of Thanksgiving, the outcome of the Civil War wasn't certain. It wasn't decided yet. It was still in the balance. And you know, it looked like, for a long period of time, it looked like the North might not win this Civil War, and therefore the Southern states would break away and the Union of the United States would be dissolved. I mean, it was a critical time in history. So there was great suffering. There was uncertainty about the future. There were so many things that could have prevented the people from having a national day of thanksgiving. And yet, Abraham Lincoln, to his credit, realized that things could have been worse. The scripture says that with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There are just so many scriptures that talks about the power of Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, you know, this should be a Christian's attitude, not just one day a year, but we ought to live in a constant state of Thanksgiving. I'm going to have some scriptures that I'll share with you on that, but I believe that most people understand that we don't thank God near enough. And you know, actually, when you aren't thankful, in a sense, most people don't process this and go through it, but you know, in a sense, what you're doing, you aren't acknowledging that God has been good to you. You're focused on the problems, and it may not be that you've renounced that God is good and that God has done things. You may have that knowledge, but you aren't focused on it. When a person isn't thankful, it means that they're focused on themselves, that they're focused on their problems, but they certainly aren't focused on the benefactor who's been so good to them. And so I believe that it is not only good for the United States, but all of you around the world. I'm unashamedly proclaiming that this isn't just a United States holiday. It ought to be a Christian holiday. It ought to be something that Christians do constantly, is to praise God for His goodness, for His protection, and for all of the provision that He's given us. And I tell you, if you would do that, it would not only bless God, which I'm going to talk about this, and I'll explain how it blesses God and how that giving thanks and praise affects God, but it would affect you. It would affect you tremendously. You would be amazed if you would go back and count your blessings and just start giving thanks for how good God has been, how it would affect your attitude. It would take care of depression. It would start building hope on the inside of you when you start recounting your victories. I want to read this proclamation that President Abraham Lincoln gave in, I believe it was November of 1863. And I just want to read this because even though this was written, 144 years ago, did you know that this same stuff applies to us today? The same problems that the people had then are the same problems that we have today. And the answer to those problems are the same problems, same answers that we have to our problems today. And I think that this could really bless you. So I encourage you to just indulge me a moment. This would really bless you if you just would listen and receive the spirit that this was written in. This is President Abraham Lincoln. He wrote, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings and fruitful fields and healthful skies." Remember that this is during the Civil War. "To these bounties, which are so consistently enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. These are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Man, I think that's powerful. It's amazing. People take all of the blessings that we have for granted. Again, going back to those very first pilgrims that came over, you know what? Their life was hanging by a thread. A large percentage of the people who came over died through that very first winter. They barely survived. They were just barely able to eke out a living. And when they finally made it through the very first year, these people paused to give thanks and recognize God as their source. We're removed from a lot of those things. We go to a grocery store to buy our food and we don't realize that it's still the blessing of God. If God was to withdraw His rain, if, you know, we didn't have the blessings of the seasons and stuff like that, I guarantee you life couldn't exist here on this earth without the blessings of God. And we are just as dependent upon God today as any group of people that ever lived on the face of the earth. The only difference is we don't know it. We think it's our own ability that has produced all of this. And I tell you, there is a need today for us to pause and give thanks to God and remember God is our source as much as there ever was. Actually, probably the need is greater today because of the self-deception and the ignorance that is among people, thinking that we can solve all of our problems on our own. You know, in years that have gone by when people didn't have, some of the luxuries and things, and they were closer to, disaster at all times, and they didn't have a government that was prospering that would step in and help them when natural disasters hit and things like that. You know what? People were more prone to recognize this dependency upon God. And so for that reason, we really are as needy as any person that have ever lived to recognize our dependence upon God. You know, there's so many scriptures, and I'm running short of time today, but on our program tomorrow, I'm going to talk specifically about thanksgiving and praise and how it affects you, how it affects the devil, and how it affects God. And we're going to go into some specific teaching on this. But there are so many scriptures, like over in Philippians chapter 4, it talks about with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There are just so many scriptures that talks about the power of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it starts listing some of the signs of the end time. Let me just turn over and read some of this because this is so descriptive of our world today. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." I believe we're in the last days. I don't know for sure that it's the last days of the world, but it's my last days. It's your last days. These are the only days we've got. "And in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Is that descriptive of us today? I believe more so than probably most generations that have lived. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous." Boy, I tell you, covetousness is just running rampant. "Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." You know, if you think as you read this list, this is somebody that just read a newspaper today and you go through. I mean, the rebellion towards parents is probably greater in this generation at this time worldwide than I have ever heard of it being. And again, I don't have the benefit of living in these different ages, but everything that I've ever studied, the respect for parents, the respect for authority has been much greater than what it is today. And notice right there in the list of all of these things, right after it lists being disobedient to parents, it says unthankful and then unholy. And it goes on and mentions these other things, without natural affection, which is talking about not loving your own blood relatives is what this is talking about. Man, that's definitely true today. Truce breakers. If that isn't descriptive today, I don't know what is. I mean, used to, you could give somebody your word and that was good enough. Today, if you have a contract doesn't mean anything if you have a good lawyer. I mean, it is amazing. People will break their word. Treaties, truces have been broken. False accusers. Man, this is happening. People are slandering other people today. Incontinent, which means that you can't be satisfied. There is just no satisfaction. People are so miserable. They've got more things going for them than any generation of people that have ever lived, and yet they aren't satisfied. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Man, that's descriptive of us today. But notice in the list of all of these terrible, ungodly things that most people, anybody would have to admit, these are terrible, gross sins. In the very midst of this list, it says unthankful. Did you know that not being thankful is ungodly? It's unholy. It's sin. You know, I don't know anybody that just wakes up in the morning and says, "Today I'm going to be unthankful. I just want to be unthankful. I'm not going to thank God. I'm not going to recognize anybody else. I'm not going to say thank you to anybody who helps me." I don't think that people just try and be unthankful, but most people don't feel that they have any responsibility to be thankful. They kind of feel that thankfulness would just be a natural byproduct. If everything in my life was going great, well, then I'd be thankful. You know, it's not that way at all. You have to accept this as a responsibility. It has to be something you look for. It takes effort to be thankful because there's always going to be something in your life that could be better. Or if everything is good right now, you know, just hold on. There's something negative around the corner. You live in a fallen world. There's problems. And today we have not only our own problems, but we get the problems of the entire world piped into your living room through news and through things like this. So you know what? There is never going to be a time that Thanksgiving is just an automatic, inescapable byproduct. It's something you have to choose. And so today, as we celebrate in the United States this National Day of Thanksgiving, I'd like to encourage you, regardless of what country you live in, to just make a day of thanking God, going back and remembering the goodness of God, seeing God as your source, recognizing that the abundance, the blessing, the prosperity, the health, the joy, the peace, the family, the job, the freedom that you have didn't come free. Somebody paid for it, and God is the one that inspired and brought all of these things to pass. Man, today is a day that we ought to be thanking God regardless of what country you live in. Hallelujah. Again, I want to remind you that we're offering some materials, a book and a teaching set on the effects of praise. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information, and please call or write and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Effects of Praise is available on either CD or in book form. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Our helpline is closed for the holiday, but you can order this teaching by going to our website. Request item T1004C for the CD album or T309 for the book. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. While visiting our website, we invite you to read the Thanksgiving Proclamation as well as discover the wealth of materials available to you free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy.
I'd like to remind you that in the United States, our helpline in Colorado Springs is closed today because of the Thanksgiving holiday. It's also closed tomorrow. We've given our employees the day off so that they can spend it with their family and friends. But really, the best way to take advantage of this is to go to our website. It's open 24/7, and it's awmi.net. Also, you can download about 400 of my teachings. I've got books, articles. It's just a tremendous website, and it's nearly all free. It would really, really bless you. So check it out. We have that web address on the screen, and take advantage of these materials today.
Our helpline is closed today to allow our employees to celebrate the holiday. But you can always reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at Life Church West in Allentown, Pennsylvania on Saturday, December 18th, at the Life Church main campus in Allentown on Sunday, December 19th, and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 6th through the 8th. He'll also be at Living Word Bible Church in Mesa, Arizona on Sunday, January 9th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance, January 20th through the 22nd, and in Houston, Texas, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net. When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
There was a time in my life, and we'll start with, I went to church and that. But after I had my second son, I was getting into teaching in Ireland of sanctification and things like that. And I had a very bad time with that. And I was afraid of God. I was afraid of God. I was afraid to touch the Bible or go to church. I used to always shrink when I went into church for a wedding or a christening. I was so afraid of God. I thought he was really out to get me. But my son had got me, he was in the army at the time, he brought me a beautiful Bible. But I never opened it. I never opened it, it was just an ornament, like, you know. I felt safe with it. Don't know why, but I felt safe with the Bible. And then whenever I heard Andrew talking, like, that sort of opened all the Word of God to me. The first time I heard Andrew, my husband had just died, which is 24 years next month. And somebody had got hold of some of Andrew's church, so tapes, before he came to England. And it was How to Know God's Will for Your Life.
And if we were to tell people that the point of salvation isn't just getting your sins forgiven, but it's having intimacy, that God Almighty loves you, He is so passionate about you that God Almighty wants to spend time with you. He wants to be your best friend.
And I started listening, and you couldn't believe what you're hearing, could you? You know, it was amazing. Amazing to know you were healed. To know you had a God that loved you, not that, you know, not done that was judging you. Some people still think that they're under the wrath of God, and He put that all in Jesus, didn't He? He's love, isn't he? And he just loves us so much. I'm 84 years old now, and as I learn to live by that word, and not just hear it, but to do what the word said, it changed my life.